I too filtered by Lytics, and I saw the one game that wasn't 2D or
visual novel. Or say it.
Or poor.
Welcome back to Linux Gamecast Weekly, the show covers the latest Linux gaming news, reviews, how-tos, and most importantly, whatever the hell else we come up with. I'm Vin Stone, here in beautiful downtown Athens, Georgia. I'll be switching the bits, trying to navigate the SS Trentanic. Joined every week by our man up north, wearing a blue shirt. Always,
Bok Bok.
What's his shirt say, Chicken Boy?
It's, Scale 17.
Yes, the other chicken.
Yes.
California chicken.
Well, I went and visited the Linux chickens in California, and I got
and
the
ate
shirt.
All their penguins.
Yeah. You know, Linux Chickens LA, I was at their booth. Yeah.
And that other sound that you hear is a man with a blue microphone cord. Yes, it is true. And a blue shock mount to match, as one Pedro Mateus staying up late on the Isles of Britannia together with you, Shat Realm Dynamic, helping us form. You know him, you love him. Cocaine Ultra. I can remember that.
It kind of looks like Pedro's cable is coming out of my arm. Pedro, yes. are you talking to
I'm speaking directly into Jordan.
Oh, no, it's just like that.
Yeah.
It just jumps up on his face.
I'm just like the Borg, right? I got an XLR just hanging up my shoulder. You just plug it in, and it's fine.
Just start slapping him around with a mic arm. It's going to be a fun show. So, what's up? What's new? I am still like thinking about ordering. I'm not even thinking about it. I got some bids on it. I've gone like full hipster with like these old ass lenses once I realized that nobody's fucking buying them. Mm-hmm. Somebody sent me the wrong one. That was nice.
Was it a better lens?
No, it was the right lens for the wrong camera. Yeah, I get the. I was like, oh, cool. This is like the 70s lens that looks all weird and shit. And I'm like, all right, that's neat. And then I got to go through the thing of, am I going to fucking bother returning a $20 piece of, like, probably not. So there's going to be a story behind that lens. And he was like, why do you have a Minolta lens? I'm like, well, let me tell you about this thing that used to be called eBay.
So now are you going to be on a lookout for the camera that goes with that lens? Just so that if you can find one for cheap?
No, but I am going to get an adapter.
Okay.
Just in case.
I don't know. Like, what is the adapter like ecosystem for like camera lenses?
Oh, okay. Get a chair.
How jank do you want to go?
Yeah, right.
Really, there's two types. You got just a straight up adapter. It depends if you're dealing with Micro Four Thirds, full frame, APS-C. But you get like a regular adapter, but then you get a thing called a speed booster, which is an optical adapter as well. That's going to give you an extra stop of with your f-stop. And those can range anywhere from $14 to $500.
Yeah. I'd have to imagine like all the various like camera manufacturers who they don't want you to be able to like use the accessories from like all the other shit.
Well, they get crazy expensive because like I don't care. I can get the super cheap ones because they don't transfer any of the electronics. Like lenses are crazy these days with the amount of electronics packed into them. Like I'm only interested in like the old archaic ones. And I found one, like then you run into problems with like barrel depth and like if you're dealing with the DLSR versus like Micro Four Thirds and moral of the story is look at the pictures next time you order something on eBay, because this is one of the reasons I'm feeling like, man, it's kind of my fault, because if I just looked at all the pictures, I'm like, that's clearly a Minolta mount. Bomb. How about you, Pedro Mateus? Have you ordered any camera lenses?
Not camera lenses, no.
Damn it.
Mostly brake caliper or enamel paint.
What are the blue things on your desk?
Yes, I have the little microfiber applicators.
Three of them?
Six of them.
Are you starting a gang?
No. It's basically...
Is that his colors?
The paint is slightly chipped in a couple of spots on the car. So that is basically to clean and then to apply the... the actual paint. That's like a process that we need to do, and it's going to need like a full weekend to do all of that, and to then get rid of the rust on the, also the brake dust in the brake calipers and the wheel hubs, and paint them to look nice.
So Pedro, then you brought up Izzy starting a game gang, and I'm like, oh, who's the blue gang colors? I'm like, oh no, is Pedro starting the Cambridge Crips?
No, he's starting the Blue Man Group. He's reinventing it.
The Crips, they're as opposed to the Bloods, you know,
red versus blue.
Yeah, red versus blue.
Man, YouTube's gonna sue you. We're gonna get copyright strike.
No, I'm gonna get shot. What are you talking about?
Something that never has to worry about getting shot, ladies and gentlemen, is our horse, because it's nay impervious.
It's next impervious, because it's the next fest. It's the Steam.
No joke. I love this, man. Next fest is like, you know what, Valve, keep doing these instead of like, hey, here's the spins wheel Tuesday sale event again. No, we're getting more and more of these next fests. This is the October 23rd edition. It's out now. If you don't know about it, a week-long celebration, upcoming games. More importantly, bringing back the demos. So developers have an option to release demos of their games. You can download them. And you know what? Play with them. I know it's a weird concept, right? Normally, when you buy a game on Steam, you don't play it. You just put it in your collection and never touch it again.
Or you play for 20 minutes and then you return it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's another option that I've seen people do. I went through it, you know, as always, because you can now sort. They've added the option to sort by operating system, and you can say multiplayer, online co-op, and all the fun things. I found a couple, like Street Uni X looked pretty good, which is a like PS1 era Tony Hawk, except it's a unicycle. So yeah. There's that. Go Mecha Ball looked kind of interesting. And Anima Flux. Flux.
Yeah, that one looked interesting. It's like a multiplayer Metroidvania, but it's only split screen. There's no online, which
it is. You know, speaking of games, I immediately uninstalled. Why did I do that? Oh man, because the attack button was the right shoulder button on a 2D pixel action platformer.
Ah, Dark Souls.
Yeah.
2D action platformer. The attack button was the right shoulder button. It's like, these people have no idea what they're doing. No, gone.
Not Linux specific, but I looked at a couple of the ones that popped out to me were Thaumaturge. That looked kind of neat, and Paranormal Investigators. There's like a genre of like the ghost busting games that like we never really played on Linux Gamecast that are all like asymmetrical and shit, where like one person is the ghost and the other people have to like go track stuff down. So I always thought that would be kind of neat to play in the afternoon.
What is it? White Noise 2.
Hmm.
That is a part of the mechanic. It's online multiplayer. We played it once on a Friday, and
yeah. With the Scoobies, I remember that. Yeah.
How about you, Pedro? Did you see anything that was going to like blow your minds?
I too filtered by Linux, and I saw the one game that wasn't 2D or
visual novel. Or say it.
Or porn.
Porn. Yes. Yeah.
You prude.
Yeah. No. Europa was like the only one. It's like, a 3D game. It's about exploration and not very combat focused. I didn't think there's any combat in that one. It's all like 3D platforming and exploration. It's like, yeah, neat. Okay, I look forward to that one. And then I looked at my actual wish list. Okay, games that didn't have a demo up until now. Wizardim, which is a boomer shooter pick.
Bless you.
In the very Exyn-y type of situation.
What? Exyn-y? What's that supposed to mean? Use words.
Is, you know, similar to Exyn.
Hexen?
Hexen. Yes. Okay. Yes. Not. Okay. Exyn? Yeah, that took me a second. Exyn. I'm like a plural of your exes. Like, you know, I was on a bit of a cheating binge, so I got like 8 Exyn, and they all want blood. Like,
that's what a wizard looks like.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, or, guess who publishes it? You'll never guess.
A boogie.
Damn it.
Yeah, them and the blood people and the 3D realms and whatnot. A lot of boomer shooters coming out, and this one, yeah, is very much along the lines of Heretic and Hexen.
I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed that the fireballs aren't like the finger guns. Like, if you're gonna be a wizard, why wouldn't you use finger guns to shoot fireballs? That's like,
I can just imagine like these level designers and people who are like really like balls deep familiar with these old engines. I wonder if they're getting calls like motherfuckers that know Fortran and shit like that. Like, ring, ring, like, hey, would you like to come work on a game using an engine from 35 years ago.
Yeah, and then they're like, "Who is this? I can't hear you. You gotta speak up." Because right. Like, they have the brass horn in their ear.
No. They're working on Daikatana too. And they're like, "Sorry, I've already been made somebody's bitch."
Ah. John Romero just like says, "Put down that phone."
John Romero, thank you for growing your goatee back. Thank you. It's starting to come back in. I follow him on Twitch, and sometimes he just streams working on what's the name of the level pack that he was doing for Doom?
Sigil.
And I saw that pop up, and I'm like, oh, cool. John's doing his thing, and he just rambles about stuff, and I'm like, background noise. And it popped up, and he showed up, and he didn't have his goatee. And I imagine I was like the fucking baby who sees like the dad without the beard. I was like, put it back.
So what's the problem? Is it like too much chin or no chin?
It doesn't look like I would have, dude. John Romero with that goatee, you would talk to him, walk by him, never know.
Okay. It just loses the look. He's just like, I had no idea who that was.
I don't know what I think. Wait a minute. Oh no! Then I was like, "Oh," okay.
And then you're like, "Oh no! John Romero just made me his bitch."
I personally want to believe his wife was like, "John, shave that off," and he did, and she's like, "You can grow that."
No, I changed my mind. Do you still have the beard? Can you just like glue it back on, please, and thank you?
Yeah, just shows up with some glue.
Have you flushed it yet? No. Okay, go get it.
Bad news, everybody. Steam was hacked in a new and interesting way.
Yeah, this is a thing. The announcement came before sort of the backstory behind it, but Valve is going to be requiring SMS confirmation every time you do a game update if you are a developer. That's one way to cut down on shovelware, was my initial thought, but it turns out that there's at least one case. Nanowar, Cells versus Virus. Someone scooped their session and was able to upload a infected version of their game to Steam and infected a bunch of people. And there wasn't too much damage done, but that has prompted Valve to be like, hey, you know what? Let's put the kibosh on this happening from now on. So you're going to need a phone number if you're going to want to update games going forward. And they say like, oh, well, if you're a developer and you don't have a phone number, too bad. If you want to update your game, you're going to have to get one somehow. But I mean, like at the same time, it's kind of necessary if people are able to, because like Steam is a trusted like software distributor, right? Like you don't really think too much about that. You really never and people are bound to take advantage of it, so it makes sense that they need to put a protection like this in place. It's like your software repo. You don't really question if like the software you get from like Apt or Yum or whatever is like compromised or anything.
Hang on, NPM is just in the chat.
And yeah, okay, we don't talk about NPM here. NPM can go wait in the fucking garage. Along with Pip.
You think about it though, like this is something that, you know, once this news came out, I was like, it's a massive juicy target for people who want to distribute malware. We never think about it. Like you never go, should I even be concerned about malware? We just assume this was taken care of. So that leads me to, because, you know, I've definitely read a couple of reports on Hacker News from Android app developers and people who make plugins for like Firefox and Google. They share their stories in like the email chains from bad actors, I guess, who come in and like
shady ass companies.
We'll give you, no, this is just straight up people wanting to inject malware. This is like not other like entities that you could go get. They're like, dude, we'll give you $15,000 if you put this and this. No problem. No questions.
So it's not even like ransomware. It's just like, hey,
yeah,
go include this binary.
100%. And I wonder if we're going to start seeing that, or if that is something. If you're a developer and like you've had somebody show up, like, hey, just man, put that. Yeah, not worry about it.
And they're not the NSA. No.
Yeah.
If they're not from the government and here to help, yes.
Yeah.
Asking Linus Torvalds is just like, did the NSA ever approach you about including a backdoor? No.
Absolutely not.
I couldn't tell you if they did at all. It would be very improper if I mentioned that some individual named John Smith came to my door and made some threats. But that didn't happen though.
And this wasn't even like a good Tom Cruise dangling from a ceiling hack. You know, they just got a hold of the browser tokens and they had his repo and they pushed
session
out.
Tokens. That's the way to get around multi-factor authentication. So let's just put another multi-factor authentication after the session token.
Okay.
There you go.
I mean, who uses a Steam card? Who?
Yeah. I mean, at this point, it's kind of it's inconvenient.
It's the only option
because you
get. I'd use Authy if I could.
Fair. I mean. You can log in without MFA, but like even now, like the whole Authenticator app, you scan the QR code, and it's just more convenient to log in through SteamGuard now.
It is if you have enough time to wait for the app to open.
Mm-hmm. If you have those 30 seconds while it's just there,
I ran into this. I think last week I was logging into Steam for whatever reason. It just fucked off on this Jordan's PC that I used for Trackmania. I'm like, I don't remember the password for that. All right, Steam app, and I hit it. And what I was worried about was because I use the dark mode in Chrome, which flips everything and inverts, so everything's always dark. So the QR code was like flipping. Like, I don't even know if that's going to work. I took a picture with the QR code login, and it just froze on the app. And I'm like, well, guess that didn't work. Fine, I'll look it up. So I set the tablet down on the desk, and I go into the Google Docs to go look that up. To what Pedro was saying, it was like 45 seconds later, it logs in.
Like, I've never had that big of a delay.
It takes a while. It's always taken a while for me. It's annoying.
It's been like maybe 10, 15 seconds at most for me. I don't know. But I mean,
no, it's long enough that you actually put the phone down. It's like, okay, I guess I'll just ask for the code then. And then it just signs in. Ah, all right. Okay.
Yeah. I guess for me, like that amount of time is like, oh, well, I got to enter my username and password, go find my phone and like punch in the code. That's about the same time it takes to go through the whole single sign-on process. So I don't know.
As long as you're able to sign in, you know, that's like the Terra thing, like whatever happened. Like, here, this would be dope, Valve. Let me install that on more than one. Like, give me two. Let me have a backup device with the Steam Authenticator installed on it.
Well, do you think they're going to like add some Steam Authenticator stuff to this? Because like SMS is an okay authentication mechanism. But like it's not
horribly,
the most secure.
It's not very. Yeah. Thank you.
It's convenient because it's everywhere.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe they'll add some Steam Guard stuff to this, or like some other multi-factor authentication. Because like requiring a phone number is kind of boo-boo. But also like I don't know if you're a publisher with a business, you should probably have a phone number.
Yeah, you probably have a business number. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a phone, don't you?
Yeah. Well, that story's coming later.
An intelligent person would have structured that correctly in the show notes, which I'm right. Not. Therefore, we have to talk about the legacy versions of CSGO. And we got some bad news. I wanted to give this a mention, a little bit of shout out to our brothers and sisters, because it's going away on Mac. That's right, because we talked about the new Counter-Strike 2, as it's called. You know, CS is go bye-bye. And moving forward, Counter-Strike 2 will exclusively support 64-bit Windows and Linux. Yeah, no longer will they support macOS. And because they say combined, let's see, DirectX 9, 32-bit operating systems, all that's going to be gone. And, you know, all of these users combined represent less than 1% active CSGO players. Jeez, Pedro, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, it does. And especially when you read like the comments on articles discussing this.
Okay, we did that earlier this week in our Discord, because it was over at macrumors.com is where I got this story. Boy, that was a popcorn.
You read the comments and the first instinct is, wow, these Mac people are a little bit out of touch. And then you remember 6 years ago before Proton was a thing and you go, oh yeah, that's why those comments look familiar. We used to see a lot of those from the Linux community as well.
That was me once.
That was us, man.
They are keeping the old version of Counter-Strike Global Offensive around. They're going to be updating it until the end of the year. So if you have bugs, get them in now. They may not get fixed, but this is the last time you're going to be able to get those voiced.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to continue to play the 64-bit version. If you're on 32-bit Windows, or if you can prove that most of your Counter-Strike playtime is on Mac since the announcement of this, then you're eligible for the Prime status refund. They'll refund all the money that you paid. And yeah, it's a little sad, but I think we all know the reason why this is actually happening. Is we could have had nice OS X support if Metal had like some way to easily adopt it into like other code bases vis-a-vis like Molten VK.
Accuse right. Apple of doing Apple-like things, but
right.
You do have to imagine somewhere at Valve that email was shot out of, like, because that flat company structure Valve is very famous for. I could just see the, send to all, like, hey, does anybody want to learn Metal for the Apple thing? And that email was never replied to.
Yep.
So, no.
There is no Metal equivalent of, like, Joshua Ashton or anything like that. Like,
well, there's an interesting comparison Deutschen. To be made to yeah, though, yeah. Because, like, what can you say about Metal? It's that one thing you can write once and run there in the Apple yes. ecosystem on the... Now, it is a bigger proposition now that they're kind of just running everything on the M-series chips, but I know I was thinking, oh, so you mean it's like DirectX? I'm like, but to what Jordan was saying, there's no translation from that to anything else, and nobody wants to learn Metal outside of app developers. And, you know, to Larian's credit, they made that. So, yeah, it sucks if you just drop 12K on the your new Mac Pro gaming rig. That's minus the wheels. The wheels are another $4,000. So,
yes. But, yeah, no, I'm at least happy to see that Valve is offering the people the option to continue playing the last version of CSGO. Like they did with 1.6, like they did with CS Source. You won't have the official matchmaking, but you'll still be able to play in the community servers. And as money-grubbing game publishers go, Valve is still one of the best.
I was just trying to help them out, man. But okay, here's the real question. This is what I want to see some comments on. Does anybody that listens to this show, there has to be at least one person statistically, whether or not they're willing to admit it publicly is another thing. That purchased an Apple laptop. I'm not talking about your iPad Pro. I'm talking about a desktop. You know, did you buy that with the intent to also, like, that is also your primary gaming rig is what I'm trying to ask. You know, like, hey, I'm in the Apple ecosystem, but I also got this to play games too. That's why I spent XYZ extra money for the RAM upgrade or, you know, for the more GPU cores.
The dedicated GPU, yeah. I mean, maybe. I would think most of the people are like, hey, I use my Mac for like content creation and shit, and I want to play a video game or two in my spare time. Yeah, I think it's less so what you described, but yeah, like I feel bad for those folks who are like, oh yeah, I got this brand new Mac and I can't play my games with it anymore. I guess you can install Windows on it.
Well, I'm thinking about the person who's doing the mental gymnastics of like, okay, I'm paying a 600% premium over the equivalent PC hardware. How can I justify gaming? Yes, I want to make sure that's why I can get the 128 gigs of solid yeah, and memory
because
RAM.
Mac used to get more games than Linux.
Hey, man, you shut up because that's how I got my free copy of Portal. That when they had they released Steam OS on Steam on Apple, they had that release day. You get a free copy of Portal, and so that was the first time I installed Steam. I'm like, all right, wine, boom, got it. And a couple of years later, I played the game. Yeah. So, yeah, if you game on Mac and like this hits you, like, let me know. I'm curious. Like, I want to talk to the person who, like, legitimately is like, yeah, this kind of fucked up. And I'm going to ask for your Steam profile and shit too, because I know somebody's like, yeah, I game on Mac all the time. Let's talk. Like, yeah. So, but I guess it's been about 3 years, man, because that was my prediction. Very safe prediction, by the way. I know when the M1 was released, and it's like, when we're just going to start seeing it roll off. But does it really change though if you've been gaming on the Mac the entire time? Because it's always been a boutique novelty thing to like get a game, right?
Well, so the other thing that occurs to me is that like one thing we're not even considering in the Mac gaming space is mobile, because there's a shit ton of iPhone games. That's where a lot of people who are gaming on Mac, that's where like their Apple Arcade shit is, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're playing like Fantasia or Hello Kitty Island Adventure, like there's still games, right? Like
those are a specific platform for games. There's no Steam for mobile.
No, it's iTunes. That's what that is, yeah. Right? Like it's Apple Gaming, Apple Arcade. It's not cross platform, but that is kind of what the shape of Apple gaming is these days, is shit you can play on your phone.
Yeah. I mean, Apple's very much like, we would much rather you sell your game through our store.
No. You have to.
But not you.
Otherwise,
Pedro, is for your own safety. It prevents malware like Steam.
Like Fortnite.
Yeah.
Ask Timmy what happened.
You know what? You know, in Apple's defense on that one, like, he was asking for it. Like, it's that defense, right?
And in the judge's defense, they came up with the best ruling that pissed everyone off.
Fuck
so.
Both of y'all.
Yeah, it's right. Like, everyone yeah. loses. Yes.
I can get behind that. Pedro saw a mech game, and I'm like, cool. New mech game. I'm happy about
yeah, it. New yes. mech game, Gear Bits. And it was named, we have Armored Core at home in the notes. And I'm like, yeah, okay, I can see that. But there's a lot more Earth Defense Force with the giant bugs that you're shooting around with your jetpacks and your pew-pew guns.
What are you saying? If you not watch people play Armored Core, because that has tons of bugs in it.
Yes, I get it does more have of the a, big like bugs. I do get more of like a Mobile Suit Gundam games on like the PS2 for this. But like, I like those games. Those were fun as hell. And like, yeah. This is a one person project one looks, too. This is.
Yeah. And it looks way too good to be a, let's just get something together to capitalize on the renewed popularity of the Armored Core series. So it's very good to see. And it like the trailer looks genuinely nice, and it's only over here. It's £8.50. So I'm guessing £9.99. Yep. It's, yeah, no, it looks pretty good for what it is.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm definitely would give this a try. I like the old school robot brawlers. I guess they're of the same like genre as Dynasty Warriors, and I was always into that sort of Musou game.
Like the over exaggerated everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I never get into like the Gundam thing. This is, looks like it's more my speed though, because it looks like it's a lot more fast paced than, you know, as soon as you say mech, I think anybody my age goes to Mech Warrior 2, and which goes to
walking tanks right. as opposed to like crazy robot fights.
Right. So looks the business, $9.99. Go check it out if you get a chance. But
all you need is a hard drive. System requirements. Just say you need storage. That's it.
1.5 gigs, man. Jeez. Storage.
Fair.
Dude, storage is getting so cheap now. It is it's embarrassing, man.
Oh, except man.
Hard drives.
The fucking Prime Day thing, that pissed me off. Okay. Those hard drives I bought to rebuild my NAS.
How much?
25% off on Prime God. Day. Didn't buy them from Amazon, so I can't even fucking return them.
Oh. That'll teach you to support local businesses.
That's the big fuck you, is like, oh my God, these are the same drives. What do you mean they're $50 off? Ah!
Man, talk about like the one piece of tech that you'd be like, can I return? No.
And it's like, if I had waited, those other drives would have died, and I would have been fucked either way. So, like, there's no way to win that.
No. Kind of like our next story, which is Diablo. You can win Diablo, just give them enough money. Diablo 4 is coming to Steam, and I think we gave it a mention, but the reason I want to bring this up, Adam Fletcher, you might know him. Doesn't he have an interesting, famous quote? Something about phones, or was that him?
Yeah. Was that him?
I think that was him.
It was one of the people that was on stage for the Diablo mobile announcement.
You guys have phones, right?
Right?
Well,
we all got phones. So
I got a Steam Deck.
Yeah, right. Check this out, though. Here's what he says. And hey, Diablo 4 is not our thing, and I know the internet's having a fun time. You know, it's popular to hate on the game right now for whatever reason. Like, fine, whatever. We've been hearing some questions about the Steam Deck verification. That's where I'm going with this. Happy to say Diablo 4 will be Steam Deck verified starting next Tuesday. So the launch of the game, it'll be ready to go. Seasons of Blood, whatever, buy all of our DLC or whatever. P.S. by the way, LOL suckers, you gotta buy it again. If you've already purchased it on Battle.net.
Just those words. Steam Deck, Diablo 4 will be Steam Deck verified. It's like, it wasn't that long ago that would have just laughed.
It wasn't that long ago that trying to do that would get you fucking banned
right?
because you're hacking. Yeah. So like,
because the warden was just banning people using mine.
So that's what I want to know is like, are we going to see some like more Linux friendly Battle.net, or are people going to drop $60, $80 on Diablo 4 on Steam, play it on their Steam Deck, and get their asses banned?
I'm more interested in like, so you're not, it's like Blizzard, you want to publicly admit you can make a game without some bullshit launcher in front of it?
It's going to be online. D4 is online only too, right? Like,
yes,
that kind of
like Diablo 3,
which defeats the purpose of having it on like a handheld where you can take it anywhere where you wouldn't necessarily have an internet connection. So you can play your Diablo,
How often are you out and about?
Do you guys
your
not have phones? You could tether. Yeah. Tether your phone, create a hotspot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you know, hang on. I need to know. Jordan, has your Steam Deck left your house?
Yes.
Where?
I have taken it in the car sometimes when I need to go to my in-law's place.
Okay.
and my wife is dealing with her parents, and I'm in the basement on my Steam Deck going.
Fair enough. So, yeah. What if you're a fan of Diablo and you want to buy the game again? But to what Jordan's saying, like, what you need to take away from this, and what Pedro's touching on, is this is Blizzard going, all right, fine. We're going to at least make sure this thing works on the Steam Deck, and that is a very important data point.
And, like, I like Diablo. I just don't like Blizzard as a company. If it got cheap, I might pick up D4 on Steam. But I've never played a Diablo game.
I take that back. I've compiled the open source Diablo 1 because it has multiplayer in it. And that's as far as I ever got, because one day me and Jordan are going to click around on that damn thing.
Yes.
But
yeah, Diablo 1 and 2 are great because they were made by people who no longer work at Blizzard.
Diablo 2 was great. Diablo 1's okay.
Diablo 1 was the experiment. But Blizzard North, the people who were a part of that, then went on to become, what was their name?
Runic. Torchlight.
Runic, yes.
And then they died. And then we have nothing. We got Torchlight Infinite.
We don't know where the Torchlight people ended up because Runic Games did go away. Which is unfortunate because Torchlight was like the perfect reinvention of Diablo. They even got Matt Wellman to come back and do the original soundtrack for the game. That was just... Love it.
But, I mean, it didn't have any microtransactions.
I know, right?
You can mod the microtransactions and it's
fine. Okay, all right, fine. All right, then we can call it authentic Diablo.
Yeah, you can make a text box appear where you can punch in your credit card number. It's fine.
One thing that you're probably never going to need to play any version of Diablo for the foreseeable future, maybe 6, possibly 7 months, is a 4080. But even then, NVIDIA doesn't believe that's going to be enough. Not for them, anyway.
Not for Starfield, anyways.
No, apparently, they didn't like the 4080 or the 4080 that they unlaunched. So they released the 4080 Ti. Yeah. And now they're going to release the 4080 Ti. Yes, I know what I said. So, mega-sized GPU, one of the prolific leakers on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, saying that there will be a 4080S, maybe a Ti, super, in early 2024 with the AD102 GPU and a TGP below 450 watts. We'll see about that. If the 4080... that had a TGP of about 350 was peaking to 600 watts. We'll see how high that one peaks. But it is NVIDIA apparently seemingly hung up on the 4080 naming scheme for some reason. So
buy it, you guys. Why aren't you guys spending $1,100 on GPUs? This one's a $1,200 one. Go buy it.
Everyone's pointed out at the time when they were releasing the 4080 and the 4080 that having two different cards with the same name was stupid when they were so different. You know, like the Titan
Everyone also
X
pointed out,
Titan
like, bitch,
X.
That ain't a 4080. Like, yeah.
That's a 4070, and they're like, no, the 4070 is the 4070.
Then NVIDIA had the first, at least recorded history, unlaunching of a product.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like, where?
Yeah, they did that with, like, the Pascal, they had the Titan X for Maxwell, and then the Pascal Titan, they also called the Titan X. Why? Because fuck you.
They should have called it the 4080 tie harder.
No, then people started calling the Titan X Pascal as Titan XP. So then NVIDIA released the new Titan X, which they called the Titan XP, just to make things even more fucking confusing.
What about Volta?
That was just a Titan V. That was fine.
Okay, so now here's my take on this. So basically, they're going to be giving us this is all fantasy stuff, unless you got the mad cash to like drop on a 4080, more power to you. Slightly faster 4080. Same price, more memory, more power. So if you're going to be looking at like a 20 gig 4080, okay? and about $1,000, $1,200, you know, $1,200. I think this might be targeted at a very particular segment of gamers, everyone. That segment is people who like to play a game called Training AI Models.
Generative AI neural networks.
Because, like, release a budget card for that without saying you're releasing a budget card for that? It would look awfully like that. Is what's getting released. That doesn't make a whole lot of damn sense outside of any other lens to me. Like, yeah, this $1,200 card. Buy the fuck out of them, because they will. High memory, yeah. NVIDIA CUDA. Look, yes, done.
Well, yeah, they've really been doing a good job at starving us for, like, the high memory cards, right? They're like, no, 8 gigs is what you get for the longest fucking time. And now we're starting to see, like, stuff above 12 and 16 gigs, but they're charging for it, man. Like,
NVIDIA's got it unlocked, man. Like, and yeah, this is just like one of those curious things. It's a news item. That's why we're talking about it. I don't think anybody here anytime soon will be.
No, unless one of us wins the lottery or gets like a scratcher ticket. It's like, yeah.
Even then, I refuse to spend more than 400 currency units on any one individual bit of hardware.
Yeah. Okay. Will you refuse to accept hardware that costs more than 400?
I don't know. There's been documented evidence that I...
Pedro's just like, give me that fucking Fortnite. Yeah, shut up. Get out of the house.
That Pedro will just open his throat and rope up his mouth and relax his throat.
You just use AMD card in the bin. Yeah. He's like, what? Yeah, and AMD, AMD, I don't care. Yeah. Team Gray. Yeah,
there's like a torn down poster of Lisa Sue behind him.
Hey, you have way too much money.
Oh no, he's got Dr. Sue on the back, rips it, and Jensen behind it. He's like, done.
Yeah.
Maybe you don't have too much money. You're like one of us. You're just like
you're one of the poorest.
Yes. We know our station, kids. And you want something a little more budget oriented. We talked about this last week, but the number digits are in. We're talking about the Arc A580. So much sparkle. Yeah.
Mr. Sparkle.
Not one, but dual orc. Axial.
It's a sparkly fans. Orc.
Three display holes, one HDMI hole. And look, they got some benchmarks over terms hardware. So we can extrapolate because that's what we do. Where does this thing land? Well, it's faster than a 6600 from AMD, which ain't saying much, but it's also faster than the 3050, which, you know, through the correct lens, you're like, that's not too bad now, is it? And this is kind of universally. So what's a little bit faster than the, it's all like Intel on the low end, the A770 and the 750 is going to be faster. There's a problem though. There's a legitimate problem with, because you're like, okay, you know what? It's faster than 3050. Maybe I'll pick one up. Well, in order to do that, everyone, it needs an additional 71 watts. Compared to the 3050 to get that, well, how much faster, Vin?
A couple percentage points,
single digits. Sometimes
depends. I saw the Paul's hardware review video that he did. And
you know, here's the 3050.
Like, yeah, the 580 was getting between 15 and 20 FPS more than the 3050, which is considerable when you have a $180 video card getting 15 to 20 FPS
more. I'm just
more.
Not seeing... Okay, now, in all fairness, this is the only chart that fucking matters, which is 1080p gaming.
For Minecraft.
Okay, we got Minecraft. So let's take a look at Metro Exodus. Metro Exodus. Right. We have a 3050 at 57.4, and a...
Yeah.
Where's
this 580 at 103.
Look at that. Now, that's a good jump right there, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the 3050 is $40 more expensive than the 580.
Speaking of the ML stuff, the ML performance on the 580 is actually also better than the 3050.
Now, just to be very clear for those of you listening, like, the vast majority of these benchmarks are like from 24 to 28 FPS.
Yeah, like it's not much, but like. And the other thing, too, they note is that the review unit, in terms of like actual acoustics, is very, very loud.
Well, it's also because it's using very, very power.
Yes, that is kind of why.
It's how many is it? Dual 8 pins or dual 6?
Dual 8 pins.
Ooh, that's spicy. But, like, I don't know. Hopefully, like, just at this price point, it's something that can, A, fill out the mid-range, and B, give Intel some, like, market footprint so that there's, like, justification to be like, hey, maybe release Battlemage. Hey, maybe have games have some driver support for these Intel cards. Because we, again, we, A, we need that mid-range, and B, we really need Player 3. We need something to, like, make AMD and Intel lower the prices.
If instead of 180, even with the power usage as it is, if they'd done 150 instead, they would have just sold out. The 580, as soon as it hit, would have been immediately gone, because at $150 MSRP, plus whatever that means in your region, over here it would be probably 150, 160 pounds, but that would effectively create the new entry level. The 580 would be the new entry level. Just there, done.
This would have been a very interesting, compelling product. Yeah, if it was $20 less than it released a year ago when it was announced.
Yeah.
We're not in that situation at this time. But I don't want everybody to get sad, because there's also something a little interesting on the horizon here. AG2 Battle Mage, bitches. The B. What's that? Oh, right. Oh, okay. So there's some data bits from the Intel GFX patch being sent upstream for not one, not two, not tres, but cuatro new Intel GPUs are heading our way.
That's funny, too. This answers the question from last week of what drivers do the Intel GPUs use.
By the way, motherfuckers.
915.
yeah. Turns out, here's your answer if you were curious.
So we got the PCI IDs. Yeah. I mean, we don't know for what, but...
Yeah, these are just the IDs that it doesn't really say much beyond.
Could be the new...
Basically, I-915 goes, okay, I see that ID. I am that driver.
It is the new PCI Express Intel Battleham meet the monitor. We don't know. So
I'd be down for that.
Yeah, Battlemage. We're looking forward to it. I mean, you know, this is... If you were an early adopter, you know, it's still a good time. If I find, you know, a $200 like 770, I'm going to pick one up, because that's one of those cards that's going to grow. And they're going to get faster. And by the time Battlemage rolls out, Intel's already had enough of these, because, you know, they're effectively been giving away ARC cards at cost to get them out of the market, to get the data bits, the data points, so they can start really making real drivers. And they've proven so far, Intel, here I am rooting for Intel, this feels weird as hell.
Right.
They've proven that they're committed to developing the drivers, at least on the Windows side, but that's also spilling back over to the Linux.
They're using DXVK for their drivers.
Yeah.
They didn't... The thing, right?
Well, okay. After like the initial, like however long that was,
yes,
worked its way into the plan. Then after the launch, until somebody was like, "Cut the shit!" All right. So I think everybody can have reasonable hopes for Battlemage. I think it's going to be an actual like product instead of what we've had with Arc, which is more of a test bed.
That also, the Archmage launch was like a complete shit show. Like that.
Oh yeah, it was like six months late, and nothing like, worked. I mean, we still have problems. Like, I don't know, games like what was it, Starfield, didn't work.
They lost half their driver team, and a boat got stuck, and oh man, it was not good for a product.
It was a calamity of errors. Speaking of errors.
Well, this may not be an error, because Unity former now CEO John Riccitiello is leaving the company, and doesn't really matter over here at Linux Gamecast. No. We're here to talk about the replacement, because John Riccitiello, he sold most or all of his shares in Unity, so he's got a big money cushion to land on.
That's the face of a man with a big money cushion.
He's got that smug farted
look in his face. We're here to talk about the person who is replacing him in the position, which is James M. Whitehurst.
Jimmy.
Jim Whitehurst. Yes. From
Slippin' Jimmy.
Formerly Red Hat. Yeah. He's going to be the new president and CEO of Unity, which I think we're all at least optimistic. Because he, as a track record, doesn't have a recorded quote as saying that developers who don't maximize profits are, and I'm quoting, fucking idiots.
It wasn't maximize profits, it was microtransactions, if you're going to quote him.
Rich Tello was the one who wanted a dollar for the fucking idiots.
Well, the fucking idiots is accurate.
Yeah. Yes, that was the bit that I said. It's like the actual quote.
Well, either way, yeah. So Jimmy, slipping Jimmy here. Formerly of Delta, formerly of IBM, formerly Red Hat. Lots of formerlies here. He has a bit of a reputation for coming in when companies are struggling and making them operational again. At least from, as we were talking about in the pre-super shows, from a corporate standpoint. So this very much seems like the board is in damage control mode. They're putting like a level-headed person in charge to see what they can salvage from this fucking dumpster fire that is like the embers of Unity's goodwill. Yeah,
that's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it is it's all going exactly according to plan.
Yeah, all according to Keikaku.
But you know, we are the financial masterminds and corporate structure overlords. We understand it. We got a better grasp on this than everyone else. Now, yeah, homeboys, we've known. We talked about it. That dude was heading out the door. Like, he knew this shit was coming on. Now, what I want to know when we're reading the book in a couple of decades, this is what's gotten me interested. How long ago did he know? And was it his idea, or was he sitting there going, because the dude's a fucking rat. Rats know how to fucking survive this shit. He's like,
flee the sinking ship.
Yeah, he's like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. We gotta cash this shit out, and I gotta get out the door, homie. That's the part I'm interested in finding out.
There's that one news post or the Reddit post we were talking about a while ago. The board members Tomer, what's his face, and the two other guys. Mm-hmm. Those seem like it would be the primary source of that influence. Because like, yeah, Richard Tell has been there for what, since 2014.
That's something Unity's to remember. He's the reason Unity got to where it was at.
Yeah,
right? Earning like, all that trust. I mean, that's easy. Everyone just push that aside and ignore it. Because that would be accurate, but
and then that merger with Iron Mountain, they bought out Weta. Like, yeah, there is Unity is very much a different beast than what it was even a couple of years ago.
Now, right. So. Like I said, I'd be very curious to read the book. But yeah, man, Whitehurst, you know, him getting popped in is not terribly that big of a surprise because he's on the board. He's a board member of what is it? What's the name of the private equity that owns a chunk
Silver Lake?
Of Silver Lake of Unity? They got a big stake in Unity. They've reduced some of their investment in Unity, but him popping over after tangoing with IBM and Red Hat came as no surprise. But look at this, Pedro Kotick is looking for a job, I hear, though. So
yeah, because yes, in big industry news, Microsoft has finally been allowed to buy Activision Blizzard King for. Almost $69 billion.
It took a while for all the payments to get go through. I mean,
yeah. But yeah, Bobby Kotick, one of the agreements with Microsoft purchasing the conglomerate was that Bobby Kotick would be stepping down as CEO and Phil Spencer would be filling in the position.
Mm-hmm.
That's someone else with a lot of job titles under him. Philip Spencer.
Boss. It says boss.
Yeah, big boss man.
I don't know, man. So what we think about this, though, here's one thing. We talked about this in the pre super shows, and go back and listen to that if you're a patron. Shameless plug. But do. What terrifies me a little bit, worries me, terrifies the wrong word. My boots are not quivering, but they're thinking about it, is the developers. Because if you've been on this roller coaster, you've been working with your game, you had a game in production, you're in pre-production, and you're sitting there going, well, fuck, you know, now I got to go to Unreal Engine. Now I got to go figure out what the hell is it? Godot.
AppLovin or whatever.
Yeah. You're looking at this and how it's being presented as, and I think Jordan's hit the nail on the head with this guy, he's going to be interim. He's just coming and going to be some changes made and somebody else is going to come in after him. But I don't want you to think this is over and done with. Nothing's been won here. Like this, that pricing structure, all that shit, 100% chance it's coming back.
I mean, yes. Speaking of those iPhone games, I think like that's what's going to be keeping Unity afloat for the foreseeable future is just like mobile gaming, because they're still like Unreal doesn't have that level of market penetration, but at least for like PC and console gaming, I definitely think that we're going to start seeing. And
they have to figure something out.
Yeah,
they do. And you know, pulling in investor money is a completely different ballgame than making money. So maybe that's something, you know, Whitehurst is going to be able to help them out with. Because one of the things that I don't think Unity's really doing right now, being wise, is like acquiring fuck all or nothing. There we go. That's my thoughts on it, gentlemen.
What about grasshoppers? What are your thoughts on grasshoppers?
Fuck grasshoppers.
Grasshoppers with caps.
They make great flour.
that's true. They do. It's very high protein. They also have a hard time finding snail shells. But if you have an easier time, you might want to play Bugdom 2, which is available on GitHub. It is a full source port of Bugdom 2, originally released for macOS and Windows, done with SDL, as a handy little build script that spits out an app image that you can also just download from their page. And it launches very, very minimal like build requirements. You basically just need like SDL and a C compiler, and you're good to go.
Where are we at with trusting build scripts? I don't.
If you scroll down...
Let me rephrase that. I would nano build.py before I'd run it.
Yes, yeah. You open the Python file first. You have to look through.
I was a little spicy. I ran the build script, but without looking at it. But like it gives you the full instructions. Basically, just
how to build on Windows. I love reading these.
You have to set up your development environment.
Gmake visuals. Oh man, okay, sure. I mean, you know what? That's not as bad as I was expecting.
Yeah,
it's using CMake. It's cheating.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. It launches out of the box. Really, really likes my leftmost monitor. But other than that, everything works fine. Picks up the DualShock 4 controller. Spits it out in like the console and everything. It works. Like, yeah, you ran around, jump around. I punched an acorn until it exploded into a flower, and then I threw another one at a squirrel, and I can confirm that it works.
I tried it out myself, and it also has a handy little app image that you can just download from the GitHub repo. chmodx, that bad boy.
If you build it, it just straight up makes the app image. They don't even like give you the... Yeah,
I downloaded the app image,
but I never launched it.
I liked it when I played it. It picked up the PS4 with Rubble support.
Yes.
I mean, it jiggled around a little bit, and like Jordan, man, Sam the snail, fuck him. He's up something, he's missing his shell. I don't trust that motherfucker a bit. Unlike the hillbilly squirrel?
Yeah. He needs that acorn, man.
No, I'm talking about... Yeah, yes. Yes, same one. He's like, hey, man, here's a map. I'm like, okay. It's no Cro-Mag Rally, which was another title from Pangea.
Mm. Yeah, kudos on Pangea actually allowing people to keep their games alive and allowing an entire new audience of people to experience those games and the nostalgia people to just go back into the games. That's really nice.
they dropped the entire source code as Creative Commons share-alike. Yeah. So like,
there's no assets or things to download. But let's be very clear about their games. They're all in the same 3D engine that they created Sandbox for the most part, with just different assets kind of moving around. Yeah.
So like it's all like Mario 64 likes.
Right. Bugdom, Nanosaur 1 and 2, Nanosaur Extreme, Bugdom, Cro-Mag Rally. Which doesn't have a online, but it, I mean, see if you see that, it's like that looks awfully familiar. If you just played Bugdom,
yes, Bugdom 2.
Yeah, good on them though, man. Like you know, game preservation, keep it around, keep it going. Yeah. Source code, awesome.
Speaking of game preservation, Open Red Alert, Open RA, they got their October 10th release out. Not a very very spicy one because they're pretty feature complete, honestly. A lot of it is just work to get the new Command & Conquer remastered collections running. But the Tiberian Sun remastered multiplayer is now in preview. There are a bunch of Linux fixes if you go through the changelog. Their launcher now will detect if you're on a laptop or have multiple GPUs installed and will ask you which GPU you want to use, which is nice. Yeah. There's their internal application survey now supports Linux distributions, so you'll get stats based on if people are on like Ubuntu or Manjaro or whatever. And the Flatpak, it won't crash with your Wayland session anymore, so that's always nice.
Sucking all the fun out of it. The Red Alert Global League Season 15 has just started, everybody, because, like, people apparently play this game. And we got the Dark Tournament just coming up. Registration's currently open for that. That makes me happy, Jordan, when I see like a competitive segment or built around, you know, a like now
retro
source.
Games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People still throwing down. Don't even think about joining that shit. They will fuck you up.
Man. Oh, no, no. Yeah. These are people who like eat, sleep, and breathe Command and Conquer. Like,
they've been playing this game for 30 years. So
they will mess your day up. Another thing, this release is progress has been made towards supporting CNC Remastered Collection.
Mm-hmm. Which is really cool. It's still very good on EA that they're working with these guys to like make the shit work with their release.
That was like the once in a blue moon good EA thing that they did. It's like, you guys are doing that. Here's the source. Go nuts.
Yeah, like EA's been a bit of a wild card, right? Like they do some like really nice moves, like, hey, EA Play on Steam, all this shit works on Proton, mm-hmm. blah blah blah. And then they're like, ah, fuck you, microtransactions. Here, have the source code for Command and Conquer. Ah, fuck you, fire everyone from BioWare. You never know what's coming next.
Everybody's dated an EA at some point.
Right, so, yeah.
Yeah.
that is the true truth.
So, there we go. If you want to tell us about your
crazy EA
relationships, yeah, adventures and dating corporations, you can do that. Head over to linuxgamecast.com. We got a contact page. We got a bunch of stuff in there. You know, put some boilerplate. Like, read that before sending things in. We got one for the show. We got one for weekly, daily Wednesdays. Relationship wise is always open. Jordan will help you out there. Give us a name, email, subject, and some messages. And it might be something that's read right here on this show. Also, you can drop a Patreon comment or YouTube comment, maybe on Odyssey. If I remember that we have an Odyssey page, nothing against that, but
give us a voicemail on Spotify.
Do it. Yes. Dare you.
We want to hear your beautiful doing, voice.
Be warned.
Just go beep, beep, boop. I mean, if you do that, we'll fucking play it. I mean, it's us, right?
if you send us a voicemail, that's just like dial-up modem noises. Like a fax machine.
We'll try to figure it out, probably. So, what do we got this week, Jordan?
We got some mail that's from Blueflow, and they're talking about Wayland. They say, Wayland is only 8 years away from being as old as X was when they decided that X was too old and started work on Wayland from 1984 to 2008 and from 2008 to present. When will they announce Wayland is too crafty and they're working on the replacement? Ha ha ha. So, like, yeah, here's the thing, though. X is really fucking old. And as we've discussed, technology has definitely moved in a different direction than some of the core assumptions that X was making. We've seen, like, on Asahi Linux, like, X just straight up doesn't work for a lot of the contexts. It's a security nightmare.
Let the Apple users eat cake.
Sure, let them have their one thing. they can't play games anymore, so they might as well get cake. But the design here with Wayland is hopefully a little bit more modular and a little bit more extensible now that we know kind. Because, like, before, in the 80s, we had oscilloscopes and we had, like, dumb terminals. Now we have all sorts of various interfaces. We have, like, VR, AR, some, like,
phones.
Phones, different types of laptops, tablets. We're even getting into, like, stuff like Leap Motion or, like, different gesture-based control interfaces. Mm-hmm. So, like, that kind of stuff doesn't necessarily play well in the X paradigm. And Wayland is designed to at least be extensible to support these new things as they arise. So hopefully we don't run into a situation like the X Wayland thing currently, but I mean, we said that about IPv6 and then no one ever adopted IPv6. So, right. That solved all our problems and we never used it.
You know, I see Doc and Jazz like 8 fucking years is a long time, 8 years, but so is 15 years of development. And that's where Wayland's at right now. Like, I don't know. Will we see something different than Wayland, though? Something that's why I put X12 in the fucking title, because leave titles if you don't want me to do it, because you end up with that. Will we get something different from Wayland? Because, like, let's face it, Wayland's it's been moving at this glacial speed of smell this entire time.
It's got some big shoes to fill, though.
No, well, let's be realistic. Let's be completely fair and honest about this. If I'd asked you 10 years ago, would Wayland be done and ready? I would have said yes.
Yeah.
I certainly hoped it would have been. As the person who runs Wayland every single day on this box, there's still a lot of stuff that it can't do. Now, it admittedly, it does a lot of things better than X ever did, especially if you have multiple monitors with mixed refresh rates, and some have FreeSync, some don't. On X, forget it, you're just not going to have a good time because there will be weird shit happening all the time. On Wayland, that's not even an issue. You just, no, this one is at 144, this one's at 60, that one's at 75. There, done. It's the small things, you know? Those small things are what gives me hope because, yes. Support for different displays and the ease with which it does it and the way that KDE works so much better on Wayland than it does on X. Yeah, it's almost there, man. Come on.
How many more years? This is what I'm like trying to get to. It's like, how many more years of like, is it just almost there? It's like that sports team. Like, we almost won this year. How long do you go until
both Gnome and KDE are talking about dropping X as a supported session.
Talk's cheap. Just,
they're both doing it at this point. So they're the two big ones.
I mean, when Red Hat does it, then you gotta go. Right.
And Gnome, Red Hat.
Red Hat is definitely making those moves. They're saying they're targeting, RHEL 11 for cutting out X entirely.
But the new Fedora is going to be Wayland only, supposedly.
Yeah.
Or Fedora 40.
And again, like I don't know if it's necessarily a matter of Wayland being ready. It's the other applications that need to catch up. It's the portals that need to be created. It's all the other supporting infrastructure. Because the protocol is pretty solid right now.
And there's going to be so many applications that are just never going to be updated.
That's true. Hopefully stuff like X Wayland can improve and reduce the overhead. But there is a lot of stuff that you would need to have like implemented in there in order for it to do the things that like X normally does that Wayland doesn't. So I don't know. I honestly think we're in a pretty good place for like 80% of use. I think Wayland is good enough. And I think the gap will continue to close.
How much longer? If we got to do predictions.
When's the Red Hat release coming out that's based on Fedora 40?
When you can no longer run X, officially supported from Red Hat, about another decade, Pedro.
Probably. I think like, yeah, the big one is going to be the big one. The biggest thing holding it back is going to be accessibility. But short of that, I think like.
Yeah, and
maybe one or 2 years, but with accessibility, definitely longer than that because there's a lot of other like problems that need to be solved to allow like.
Then again, screen accessibility readers to was work. Still was still but, a big issue on X too because there was a lot of things that just didn't
yeah
work. The, you couldn't the, do on
yeah,
X
but
because
the problem with Wayland is accessibility doesn't work by design.
Yes, well, the screen reading is a big no-no.
The problem with accessibility on X is the only reason it works is because there is zero security. So, gotta be something.
I don't know. Maybe the happy middle ground, like, cause I see that a lot with Wayland, like, but secure. I'm like, it's my fucking desktop. I don't give a shit.
But I need to cater to the people that do.
Yeah.
That's why portals are a thing, and that's why we actually need that to work. To be able to, if people want to punch that hole, it's like, no, I want access to read the screen so that I can have a text to voice to help people with eyesight issues.
Yeah. And we run into situations like Joshy trying to, it's like, hey man, we can make OBS work in this flat pack container. We gotta punch some holes. No!
But you're already doing that.
Shut up.
Yeah, but shut up.
Yeah, see that one is like, Joshy's like, well, we're going to punch the hole, but then we can replace the hole with this better thing, but we're doing it anyways, so we might as well just do it. And the OBS guys are like, but no.
But you're already doing it. No.
You know what? You know, making your official thing a fucking flatback, you get everything you deserve. I have nothing but love for the OBS team. But
that seems self-inflicted.
Yeah.
You should have went with snaps.
and then just shit wouldn't work. Just gotta run everything against the snap. Great. How many loopback file systems do you want mounted this time?
How many can you get mounted before things just start?
Oh, see, that's a good question, because it's not Linux that would fuck it. It would be like the file manager that's like, how many mount points do
something's
I got to crawl?
Something's going to hit an arbitrary fucking number digit punched in the code somewhere and be like,
Stay
tuned.
Well, snaps for IoT. It only runs one thing ever, so you're never going to run into this problem.
That's why you do the whole VM in a snap.
Yeah.
Yeah, you run GNOME boxes in a snap.
Yeah. Or what?
Snap.
Oh, jeez. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get the hell out of here. Thanks for showing up, watching us live. If you get a chance, we do this every Saturday, 8:30 Eastern Standard Moon Time. Subscribe to us on Twitch or follow us or click a heart or some shit and you get email notifications sometimes if it feels like sending them out. It's kind of dope. But, you know, also calendars, they work. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with me, you can. I'm over on Zitter, still doing that thing over there, at Vinstone. I'm on our Mastodon. We got mast.linuxteamcast.com. Somebody hit me up earlier this week. It's like, oh, I see you're doing the Mastodon thing now. You've had it. I was like, bitch, we've had a Mastodon instance for like 7 years, man. Fuck off.
I had to remember what my Mastodon account password was a while ago. That was the problem.
Oh, man. Yeah, just at Vin, mast.linuxteamcast.com, being all federated in timeline as well.
I'm Jordan. I'm all disassembled. And in order to assemble me, you need to unflat pack me and put me
together
with an Allen
key. You just want
glue
to sniff. I know you.
I want Allen keys to munch on, damn it. Find me on Mastodon at Frojo at mast.linuxteamcast.com or on Twitter at The Burning Fool.
Now I have this picture of Jordan swinging in a big wrecking ball with no clothes on.
I came in like a wrecking ball. Yeah, it's just the Ron Jeremy version.
Just licking tools.
Yeah,
that's the image that popped into my head.
Yeah, it's just like with the less hair.
Yeah. So you can find me also on mass.linuxgamecast.com. It's unaccounted for with the actual number 4 at the end. So hit me up on there. I'll hit you up right now.
Smash him up, fam. Bring him some blue paint. He'll be your friend forever. Time for some credits.
Give me Allen keys. Om nom nom.
I wonder if you can buy candy Allen keys. Somebody's going to have made that by now.
Yeah, probably.
Like IKEA. But, you should fucking sell candy cane Allen keys.
Like fucking Popeye's candy cigarettes, but they're Allen keys. We got to thank our advisors, Omega and Art Theron. We got to thank our executive producers, Bob Bram, Scott Michaud, Atomic Ass, Mike G, Drummo, Tomash, Hakim, Dave, Eshep, Ian, and our Little Nick fan, Super Desto, Empty, Glorious Eggy, and Nobin.
I gotta fix this chair. See monsters.
Rhino, Rider X, back in a Trudgy, Veritanuda, Justin, Nobin, Darkwing, System T, Danzig Joe, Ogi One, and Kyrie Lore, and see monsters with the Death Notes. Nova!
So stinky!
Basil, Chad, Romeo, Marson, Renee,
Googly,
Leonardo, the Kresny,
Evandro.
Xanthros Gaming.
Peeble.
Rue.
Live
Turnover.
In it.
D-Spec. Tony Gaming
all
PT.
All of our fine upstanding cannibals.
PT Dave.
Thank you so much for making this nonsense possible. Oh yeah, shameless plug. There's a thing for the Raspberry Pi on Jitsi that we're running right now. If you're a patron, that video's up for your perusal, inspection, comments. It's your chance to be like, you're wrong on something. Then I'm like, oh, cool. Much better time than after I published it, because I ain't fucking changing it after it's on YouTube. Bad fire, everyone. See you next
Wrong
week.
Wrong forever, Linux Gamecast. Five dudes.